We are recording. I didn't see the sources. And we're looking at David and the story of Bathsheba and the stories that come afterwards in the light of the famous statement of Chazal in source 15. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Bar Nachin, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Kol Omer David Chata Eno Elo To'ah. Whoever says David sinned is just making a mistake. And I'm going to dedicate this shiur to the memory of my father, Rav Meir ben David Ezriel. His yard site is today, his 16th yard site. I'm putting that right. I'm talking about the fact that that statement doesn't say that David did not sin. It's saying that if that's what you say when you read this, then you are making a mistake. That's not what this Sefer is about. The Sefer is to teach us about the power of tshuva. And more than just the power of tshuva, that's what we're going to. And now is that, because we have other examples of tshuva throughout Tanakh. Yehuda does tshuva, he says, I'm wrong, right? We have Reuven after the incident of Bilhah, we have Adam, we have Cain, lots of examples of tshuva. But what David is different is what we're going to call tshuva shel Ahava. And we're going to talk about what that means. And we're going to look at this from the perspective of Rav Shagar, who we've talked about before as a, sort of postmodernist, religious Zionist leader in Eretz Yisrael. And this was from a source that Joy Rosenfeld gave me. So hopefully I understand it. If I don't, whatever mistakes are mine, and certainly worth, if you have these kind of deep things, you definitely should talk to Joey about. But the idea of tshuva, to start with that, we're getting toward Rosh Hashanah, so Charles should learn about tshuva here. And tshuva is one of those things that was created before the world existed. It's a fundamental fact of the world. And this is the Gemara in Pesachim, source 17. Patanya, shiva devarim nivru'u kodem chenivra olam. There were seven things created before the world was created, alien Torah, u'tshuva. And it gives a long list, but tshuva is one of the things created before the world was created. Tshuva v'tziv, v'terem harim yaladu, teshev enosh ad daka, this is from Tehillim Tzadik, this is Tehillim Moshe, that says before the mountains were born, that a person is supposed to return from the low place that he started. Tomer shuv me adam, it says, return, O human beings. And this is from an essay by Rav Shimon Schwab, which I'm going to read here. It talks about this idea of what does tshuva mean in this sense? Is that why these things are so important? When we speak of the creation of the world, we believe it was formed yesh me'ayin, tangible reality out of nothing. Now let's consider grave sin like the murder of Hevel by Cain. According to sages, Cain did tshuva for his crime. What does that mean? Can tshuva bring back Hevel? Clearly not. He's dead. Not a case of robbery, where the money can be returned. There's no way to undo a crime. The act cannot be undone. This is the wonder of tshuva. Someone fully and sincerely repents, then Hashem considers it as if the crime had never been done. Instead of yesh me'ayim, we have ayim me'yesh. We're undoing the past in some sense. Tshuva is created before the creation of the world. Tshuva returns conditions to the way we were before the creation. We can suddenly create an ayim, undo what happened. And this explains the statement of Chazal that Kol Omer David Chata Eino Ela Toa. That's saying that David sinned is a mistake. On the surface, it seems strange for Chachamim to come to this conclusion. After all, Tanakh is very direct in its description of David's actions. He does not whitewash anyone. Surely it's clear from Tanakh that David committed some kind of chet with regard to Bathsheba. Why then is wrong to think that David did something improper? The answer is that David sinned but did tshuva. When someone has repented wholeheartedly, committed himself to not repeating his mistake, as if he has not sinned at all. And that's...
Danny.
Yeah.
Is there like any kind of time constraint on that?
In terms of what tshuva is? No, that's something...
No, in terms of like how long you have to do tshuva.
Before you're dead.
Huh?
Before you die. That's the only constraint.
I mean, that could be a very long time.
It could be. And, you know, that's... I mean, that's
so what that's saying that seems for a human being to say, oh, you have till you die to repent, and then it will be as if you never committed that sin.
Right. Well, what
and
is that?
Everything turns back the way it was.
What does that mean? Right? What does it mean?
I know, it's hard to sort of wrap your head around.
This is how Hashem looks at us and looks at how to judge us. Yes, you have an obligation every moment to do what you can to undo the extent possible. But some things can't be undone, right? The question is, what do you do with that past, your past?
I'm just wondering, are we also supposed to feel that way?
In terms of looking at someone else who has...
Yeah, in terms of like if somebody wronged us.
I think the answer is yes. That's what mechila is, right? We ask for mechila. And you should be willing to do mechila if someone has done tshuva.
Okay.
All right. I mean, I think that's part of what...
That's also not so easy.
No, that's very hard. No, I agree completely. And this is from an essay by Micha Berger. There's a lot of Kiruv work. We're talking about this idea of we're going into Yom Kippur and we ask for Slicha, Mechila, and Kapara. Those are three things. And this is the way he looks at those three things and what we're asking. When we do tshuva, we're asking to be, well, whatever, how you want to translate, Slicha, Mechila, and Kapara. Slachlan, Mechalan, Kapara. According to Abu Draham, Slicha is being pardoned from punishment. Save us from the punishment there. Mechila is forgiveness. But there are no ill feelings remaining from the act. That's when we ask someone else for mechila. Like, okay, I wronged you, but I am sorry, and this will never happen again. And that's what mechila is asking, not just to do whatever, take a punishment, but to say that the feelings are gone as well. Rashi writes, "Having kissed him, there's no greater mechila than this. Do not obtain forgiveness from Hashem for sins done against another, but for first trying to obtain mechila from the person offended." And then kapara. The word kapara means to cover. It's containment of the inclination that led to the sin. It's to say that here and what made me do that, that's no longer going to affect me anymore. This is explained in the verse when it says, that we quote on Yom Kippur, this day will provide kapara, and you'll become tahor. Hashem will make you tahor. This links kapara to the tahara. If we can achieve kapara, now we're tahar. Now we're pure, freedom from adulterations, freedom from the negative habits that led to sin in the first place. Kapara is the step before the being tahar. I need to achieve slicha just to survive. I need to achieve mechila to deal with those who I've offended, to get that level of forgiveness. And I need to kapara to contain that what led me to sin in the first place. That's what starts the healing of the self. Kapara, by containing the cause of the sin, isolated personal flaw, is a step toward closing that gap between my finite self and the Romamus, the glory of Hashem. That's what we want to get back to, close to Hashem. From kapara, we can become a person with a healthier relationship with Hashem and with others. We need these three steps. And that's what we look at. These three steps correspond to those three steps that the Rambam talks about tshuva, about vidui, harata alavar, the Kabbalah al-Atid. Slicha is the immediate reaction to the sin. David does that. He says Chatati, and then the Navi tells him right afterwards. He says Vayomer Natan al David Gam Hashem Hevir Chadecha Lo Tamud. But then tells him right away, God has taken away your sin. You will not die. There's still lots of tragedy to come, but the overwhelming consequence of what happened with Bathsheba, what happened to Uriah. David being deserving of death, that won't happen. David will now have a chance to do tshuva. This isn't a full tshuva. And then the mechila, again, is when Bathsheba calls him Ishti, and when Hashem comes to him and says, this child, this Shlomo, this will be your legacy. This child will not die. Vayishlach b'Natan Avi, Vayikra et Shmo Yididiyah. Hashem calls him Yididiyah, the beloved of God. That's the idea. Mechila, that now accepted forgiveness. I've now achieved forgiveness for the act that happened in the past. And then we're going to see the kapara, where we kind of pulls this all together and ends up growing from that. It will come, and it will come in the future when, now at this point, he's lost his malchut. He will get that malchut back. At this point, David is running away. His son Avshalom is on the way with an army to take over. But this will come back, and he will achieve the point where David would say, "B'chol Am Yehuda Hebiru El Hamelach, Mikol Ish Yisrael Ba'im Al Melach." He will become the king again. That will be the stage of kapara, and that's what this entire story of Shmuel Bet is all about that, both the tshuva and the slicha side of that, and how that works together. And there's more there. Because we talked about tshuva shel Ahava. Now, David's relationship to Hashem was always one of Ahava as opposed to Yira. That Rabbi Shlomo likes to talk about that. Shlomo was very much a Yira kind of relationship. David and Tehillim is always Ahava. I want to be one with God. And tshuva me'ahava is an interesting idea. This is source 20, famous Gemara in Yuma. Susie's here. This is the Zecher Nishmas Rav Meir ben David Ezriel. Source 20. Amar Reish Lakish. Gedola tshuva shiz donot nasot lo kshiva goat. Tshuva is wonderful because your intentional sins are now considered as though they were accidental. Shneimar shuva ad Hashem, shuv Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. This is the Haftarah for Shabbat Tshuva. Return Israel to God. Ki chashata b'avnecha, because you've stumbled in your sins. Avon means it. This idea of avon is a intentional sin, a transgression that you've done. Hakari le michshal. It's called stumbling. We consider it as though you just did it accidentally, and we'll reduce the punishment for that. But tshuva turns you sedonot into shigagot. Ini, Gemara asks, is that right? Omer Reish Lakish is also quoted as saying, "Gedola tshuva, tshuva is great." She says, "Donat nasel kizichuyot, that your sins become merits; they count it as a positive thing." Shneimar, and Yecheskel, "Shuv rasha mirshato," when the rasha does tshuva from his evil doing, "Vasam mishpat tzaka alehem," and he will do mishpat tzaka for them. And he will live. That somehow this Rishato becomes a Mishpat and Tzedakah. Gemara says that contradicts each other. What is it? Are you Zudonot becoming Shigagot, or they become Zuchuyot? Lokasha, Kameava, Kameira. Tshuva Me'ava somehow turns your sins into Zuchuyot, into merits. Tshuva Me'ira turns your sins into Shigagot, accidental. There's negligence, but it's not so serious. What does that mean? And Rav Meidan looks at that and talks about David being doing tshuva me'ava, verse 21. Chazal divrehem al tshuva, divchina be'ikar ben shtei tshuvot. Chazal look at tshuva in two different aspects. Tshuva shmi'ira, tshuva me'ava. Is it from fear, from awe, or from love? Tshuva me'ira ha'onesh kalal hasbir. So it's easy to understand what it means to do tshuva because of fear of punishment. The classic example is the Haftorah for Yom Kippur, the people of Nineveh. Yonah comes and says, you're all going to die. And they say, oh no, and they do tshuva. And 40 days, everything will be turned over. So they turned over themselves. That's tshuva me'ira. Minia shel tshuva me'aba, kashim yoter l'hagdara. The limits of what tshuva me'aba is a lot harder to define. She'avat Hashem Torah, lo iruv shikuli ha'ani shel adam. She'minia l'shneider, that to have avat Hashem is to be one, is to feel oneself one with Hashem without any of this, without any aspect of the me, of the ego in there, that keeps us from changing what we are. That if we have any of that ego, we can't do tshuva. So we need the tshuva in order to get to the Ahava. How can we start with the Ahava? Piderach Hashem, certainly hard to do. Relech Oret Kadacham Shoshi Yechidei Segula Bovai. It's only possible for people who are really lucky to be able to achieve that, to get Ahava, get the tshuva. Yirulanim, Shikarash Tshuva Me'ava. It seems to me that the essence of tshuva me'ava, the utza, is rooted that we need to break the boundaries between us and Hashem in order to achieve tshuva shel Ahava. But that's really fuzzy and fluffy for me, and I want to get a better handle on what that means. Okay, I have to achieve oneness with God, I have to break the mechitzot. What does that mean? So now we're going to get to Rav Shagar, and as Zach Truba says in where was that? The Lair House. Wouldn't be the Lair House magazine online. A lot of Jewish thought. Tshuva Shagar is to encounter a thinker unlike any that American modern Orthodox Jews are familiar with. Right? You see, to address the most pressing intellectual, spiritual, and cultural issues of the day, and mine the depths of Hasidut and Kabbalah with modern postmodern philosophy. It cites a lot of the postmodern idea that everything is kind of, if relative, we create our own truths. Interesting article. So this is where Rav Shagar looks at tshuva, and he's mostly basing this on Reb Tzedek Milublin, the Hasidic Rebbe. And this is Rav Shagar's book, Shuvi Nafshi, about tshuva. The problems to who Rav Tzedek Dan Baham, the problems that Rav Tzedek are dealing with. They are the classic questions of tshuva. How can we erase the past? That was your question, John. Right? What does that even? What does that mean? What does it mean, Shuvah She'ava, that we say it turns our sins into merits? How can that happen? And how can we reassure someone doing Shuvah that they're not going to sin again? How can you make a statement about the future? Well, things like that. And Rav Tzedek was a student of the Ishbitzer, who was the author of Me'ah Shiloach, who was a big believer in the philosophy of determinism. He said that Kol B'nei Shamayim Afilu Yirat Shamayim, that we really don't, the goal is not to have free will, to completely submit ourselves to the will of God. Preach acceptance of himself, allow Hashem to determine our actions. So Rav Tzedek looks at tshuva in that vein, and looks at that there are two different ways of looking at our actions. That's Mishnah Avot. What the Kiva says, Hakol Tzafoy V'Rashut Netuna, everything is foreseen, and we still have free will. Classic paradox. I have no idea how to understand that. But one way of looking at it is that there's a difference between our actions now and what we look at in the past. Our actions now are subject to our free will. What happened? That is, at this point, determined. We can't do anything about that. All we can do is look at our attitudes toward it. And this is what Rav Tzedek says about that. Ikar ha-tshuva, the essence of tshuva. Who ad sheyir Hashem einav, that you want to get to a point where Hashem will enlighten your eyes, and you will look at your sins as though they were merits. Kind of a dangerous idea. But Tzalamar, that means, sheyakir v'yavin, shekol ma shekata haya gam ken b'ratzon Hashem yibarach. Look it back and realize that everything that happened, that was God's will. Even the things you did wrong. The time yidia ubechira, shebiyar ha'arizal, yisof shefer arba meyot shino kesef, and we're going to look back at the Ari, which is far too globalistic for me, to say that shishneim emet, that both this idea of yidia ubechira, determinism, divine knowledge, and free choice, both of them are true. Kol echab makom b'fnei asbo, each in its own place. And if we have free will, then there's no room for determinism. And if everything's determined, then there's no room for free will. And both are true within different realms of thinking. When you realize that incredible enlightenment, then we realize that what happened was all part of the God's knowledge. Knew that all this would happen before. And God's will and knowledge are the same thing. Meaning, if it happened, then obviously God wanted it to happen. And therefore, you can look at it and say everything was for the best. Everything is for a merit. So, kapara gumura, to be able to grim, and that's what gets you to the sense of kapara, of sense of atonement. So tshuva, in the sense of returning, is not returning me to where I was, but returning my past to Hashem. This isn't my past, God, that you, this was yours. This is all Rav Tzedek, say everything is God's action. Even our thoughts before we do anything, that's all God's will. Hashem gave us the ability to sin. So after we get to this tshuva gemura, then I am good again. I have the merit, that everything I did is part of my zuchiyot, to make me who I am. That's Hashem's will. in one sense, it's very dangerous, right? I could justify everything I did. God wanted me to do it. We end up in this state of nihilism, of antinomianism, which is always a problem with the Yishpatzer, and we can deal with that as well. But this attitude toward how I look at my past is very much the same of the 12-step process of Alcoholics Anonymous. I say my actions were not in my control. That's the only way I can move forward to do something different is to accept that not in my control. That's the 12-step process, to admit that one cannot control your addiction, recognize that a higher power can give strength. That's the essence of Reb Tzedek's approach to tshuva. That I can make examine my past errors, make amends, and live a new life with a new code of behavior. But I got to start by saying that what happened to me was not me, not in my control, it was me. And Avraham Twersky is a rabbi and a psychiatrist who famously uses the 12-step program in looking at, from a Jewish perspective, and basically looking at that from Musar. So Rav Shaker takes that Rav Tzedek approach. I need to say everything I did was God's will, and looks at the way the Rambam looks at tshuva, which is a matter of looking at the past and saying, I was a terrible person, this was horrible, and puts them together, that we can look at that. There are two approaches to tshuva. This active, I need to change this, and this passive, which is say, Hashem, God, this is up to you, I can't do anything about myself. He says that's the distinction between tshuva me'ira and tshuva me'ava. I want to look at that. And like all dialectics, both are right. You need both sides of that, and you can't reject one or the other. So looking at the Rambam, wait, how do I do tshuva? Once I've done tshuva from my point of view, Hashem will say, Yodea telumot, the one who knows secrets. That's God. That the person will never return to the sin again. Hashem promises, if you've done tshuva, then you will never go back to this. And you have to say, Klomar, Shani Acher, I am someone else. I'm not the same person I was before. Not the one who did these actions that I'm doing tshuva from. And I will change everything I do good. Do the right thing. And this is Rav Twersky. Yes. How can Rambam make that statement? The person always has bechira, right? How can you say that Hashem promises you'll never do that sin again? Hashem testifies the person will never again commit that sin. He either loses bechira or Hashem testimony is not correct. Neither of these is acceptable. So this is first thing. I attended a meeting of recovering alcoholics, in which the speaker said, the man I once was drank. The man I once was will drink again. If I ever go back to being the man I once was, I will drink again. Telling the Rambam's words were clear. Sin does not occur in a vacuum. Sin occurs when a person is in a spiritual state that allows the sin to occur. That's what true bits change who we are. Hashem does not testify that a person will never again commit the sin. Rather, he succeeded in attaining the level of Kedusha, where at this level, sin is not a possibility. I'm not the same person who did that action. That's right, Rambam, I'm Kai Bruce Lee, chose to refer to Hashem as the one who knows the secrets, Yodea Talumot. He knows that the person achieves levels of spirituality. That's why the Rambam continues with this kind of tshuva, the person can say, I'm no longer the same person that committed the sin. The way I understand Rav Shagar, that tshuva is a matter of becoming a new person. You got to get to that point. Not just that's what Kabbalah Alatid means. Not just I'm making up for what happened in Ba'avar, but for the future, I am now a different person. And that the miracle of tshuva is that Hashem allows us to consider that we change the past as well. I now look at the past and say, it's this new person that did this. This act happened, but the new person did it. So that's how Rav Shagar reconciles the two approaches to tshuva. Tshuva me'ira is the act of I am rejecting what I was. It's not so much yira of the chet, not yira of the punishment, but it's yira, it's fear of what I was. What I was a terrible person, and I am rejecting that. I'm going to become a better person. Yira is a disgust with my own past. The tshuva me'ava is accepting. It's to say, I am a different person, but I'm not rejecting who I was. The person who I was allowed me to become the person I am today. I've got to incorporate that into who I am. That's what Abba is. Abba is the love of what I was and where I'm going. So that's why Tshuva Meira leads to the Gnot Nasa the Kishkivot. that from that point of view, if the person I am now did those acts, then it was entirely accidental. I wasn't thinking at all. It's a show gig. I didn't want to do it. I'm sorry it happened. I sure didn't do it intentionally. The old me did it intentionally. The new me certainly did not do, as it were, those acts in the past intentionally. That's show gig. That's a step. But Chuv Me'ava turns those into chuyot. I'm looking at that yes, those are things that happened to me, and they are what made me who I am today. And I have to accept that and incorporate that into who I am today in order to move on from there. It comes in a huge issue with Bali Tshuva, who never kept kosher. Do I reject my past? Do I never talk about eating cheeseburgers? And, okay, I say, yeah, they're delicious, but I'm not doing that now. But who I was led to who I am today. And accepting that as that was all of Hashem's will to lead me to this point. Now, right now, I am a better person than I was. That's Tshuv Me'ava. Again, that's all. None of that allows you to do an avera. This is all. How do I look at what happened in the past? How can I go? How can I move on from there? Do I have to reject what happened? Do I accept it and incorporate it into making who I am? And Sefer Tehillim is that expression of Avat Hashem, and specifically is this is his idea of Tshuva Me'ava, that David incorporates his past, and moves it into who he becomes as he moves forward here. Which we explain, that's why Shlomo, the product of his sin, can become his legacy in this way of looking at it. And David becomes this model of tshuva. This is from the end of...
Danny, I thought that they had him because he already did that, only after he did tshuva that he had Shlomo.
Right, but that point that once he's done tshuva, he can be accepting of the past, right? He can be official. He can be married to Bathsheba. The child this relationship now becomes Yediyah, the beloved of Hashem.
Okay, yeah.
And that's right. That's only possible if he can, within the text, keep Bathsheba within this model of thinking. Can he accept his past, bring it together? He's not rejecting what happened, kicking Bathsheba out to leave her as an adunah. He's bringing her in, because, right? All everything that happens to him is part of makes him who he is. And that's what Tshuva Me'ava is.
And also, he's still being punished.
Right. But that's going to end here. We talked about that. The point where I'm arguing that when he looks at the Aron and sends it back, remember that was from the beginning of this lesson, that is Oto Isha Oto Makom. And he looked at Bathsheba as his tool for building the Beit HaMikdash, looking at Aaron there, and he's rejected. So he's gotten to that point now of turning around and being a better person. From here on in, he will not be punished. Like this ends here. He's gonna win this battle of Avshalom, and the next battle is he's just gonna win. He's gonna win all the battles, involve no effort at all, until we'll see at the end of Sefer Shmuel. He's just too tired to fight, and everyone makes him retire. And then he will get to the point of Sefer Melachim, and he will appoint Shlomo as his successor, and then Shlomo will build the Beit HaMikdash. This pasuk of turning around, turning the Aron around and bring it back, really is the turning point in Shmuel Bet. At the end of it, when it talks about David as the Na'im Zimur Yisrael, as the psalmist, verse 29. These are David's last words. It's his last fragment of a poem. Nu'um David ben Yishai, these are the words of David son of Yishai, Nu'um ha-gever hukam ol, the words of the person who stood above all, was hukam ol, on. So it stood on. Mashiach ol Yaakov, the anointed one of the God of Yaakov, and Im Zimur Yisrael, the sweet singer of Israel. The Gemara asks, what does this hukam ol mean? Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni and Rabbi Yochanan says, my dichtiv, Nu'um David ben Yishai, Nu'um ha-gever hukam ol, Nu'um David ben Yishai shekim olah shel tshuva. That hukam ol, not does it mean al, mean on, but it means all, meaning a yoke. He is the one who established the yoke of tshuva. He serves an example. And that's Meidan continues on his discussion of Bathsheba, source 31. Kan chidusho shel David. This is David's innovation that made his tshuva different. Mekum olah shel tshuva. Who gave us the yoke of tshuva. Rochelle. I'm not sure what I meant to say over there. It should say Shlomo. I'm not sure what I got all mixed up in there. Shlomo. That's Shlomo. Benasha Batsheva. So Shlomo is the daughter, the son of Batsheva. I'll go ahead at that. Remind me. That's described in as being the one that was a product of his sin. That David describes, him bavon chalalti, I was born in sin, b'chet yachameni imi, my mother conceived me in sin. Hofech lebuchir Hashem. That's the zidonot, le'aseh l'zuchuyot, in a very literal sense. Shlomo becomes the one who is chosen by God, b'shem zidonot, b'chet nefechet lo David l'zuchuyot. That's how to look at it. So David's return to Malchut, Shlomo as an heir, is a result of his tshuva me'ava. And that all his sins now become merits because he's done true tshuva. He has regretted the past, he's made amends where he could, he has made himself a new person, has changed how he looks at the world. And now Shlomo can become his heir. And that's the meaning of tshuva me'ava that David teaches us. Now there is a parak of Tehillim that deals with this, the nature of tshuva, and that is parak Lamed Bet. And it starts out, let's actually pull this up, the whole thing. Tehillim Lamed Bet. There we go. David Maskil. This is a Maskil. From Seichel, this is an intelligent, we translated before his lecture. David, Ashrei Nesui Pesha. Happy is he whose sin is born, Kisui Chata, and whose iniquity is covered. And it seems to be saying that it's a good thing that you can cover up sins, right? Ashrei is kisui chata'a. And Gemara is bothered by that. It compares it to a pasuk in Mishle, which I'm going to pull over here. It says, mechasef pesha'av, someone who covers up his sin, lo yatzliach, will never be successful. Modeh, bozev, yurucham, but someone who acknowledges it, abandons it, that's the person who will achieve mercy, that's the person who achieved forgiveness. You need to accept it. What does it mean to say kisui chata'a, to cover up the sin? That's the person who's happy. We just talked about how David admits it. He's very public. He's got a whole Sefer Shmuel, a whole Perek Tehillim dedicated to the fact that he sinned. He's not covering it up. So this is Gemara and Yuma. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Barav Rami, Rabbi Yehuda, son of Rav Rami, says, Ketiv, it says, Ashrei nesu pesha kisui chata. Happy is the one whose sin is born, who can cover up his sin. Ketiv, mechaseh pesha ablo yasliach. But on the other hand, you cover it up, will not succeed. Lo kasha. There's no contradiction. Habachet mufusam, habachet she'enem mufusam. Well, if it's famous, then you can't cover it up. If it's not well known, then you can cover it up. So if you're able to hide it, then that's great. Not sure we like that. So Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav Nachman says no. Kamba ve'erot shebet adam l'chavero, kamba ve'erot shebet adam l'makom. No. That covering up, that you can't cover up a sin that's between man and fellow man, that you have to admit to the other person, but made adam l'makom, you can do your tshuva in private. That's what it's saying. You don't have to publicize the fact that you've sinned. And you always need to admit it, but do you need to just do it privately to Hashem, or could you have to let the other person know that you sinned as well? That's the Gemara's approach there. Rav Hirsch looks at this and says, no, we're reading the entire pasuk wrong. Kisui chata'a doesn't mean someone who is covering up their sin, but someone who is not sinning. Happy is he.
Someone who's not sinning?
Who has not sinned, right? That's the asterisk, first asterisk, because we're going to, the rest of the paragraph is going to, what if you did sin? He's going to read this verse as happy of whom we can say that he's both nesui pesha, that he has been lifted away from any pesha intentional sin, yisukata, and his covered, is protected from chet, which is unintentional. Or unintentional. That's it. If you look at the next pasuk. Here. The first pasuk is the dumb pasuk. Akrei ashrei nisui pesha kisui chata. Read like, right, by Hirsch. Happy is one who is completely protected from sin. If you're perfect, right? That's great. But ashrei adam lo yachshov Hashem lo avon. Happy is the one that Hashem is not thinking about his sin, ein ruchar remiyah, and a person doesn't deny it. Hirsch is saying that these two are two ashrei, two different situations. And we have the tzaddikim gemurim and the balei tshuva. And that first sentence is just kind of introduction. Happy is the one who doesn't sin. And the rest of it is going to be about the Baal Tshuva and how that you can achieve that ashrei as well. And this is the introduction from Feivel Meltzer, who's the son of Isser Zalman Meltzer, is one of the Gedolim in pre-war Europe, made Aliyah in the 20s. And his son was one of the founders of the Masada Rav Kook. And he evidently, I mean, this is why Israel's so great. He had a weekly radio show on Tanakh.
And this guy or the father?
This guy. So this is Feivel, son of Isser Zalman Meltzer, everyone's heard of. One of the Gedolim. And there, Feivel Meltzer, not so many people have heard of. But I found this book when Block closed down and got rid of all their Sephardim. But it's favored by Feivel Meltzer, which is a collection of his radio lectures about Sefer Tehillim.
Oh, neat.
He went through every chapter in Tehillim. This was starting in the early 40s when it was on Radio Palestine, it then became Radio Israel. Back in the mass media or something useful, right? Okay, so this is talking about this Tehillim Sefer Perek Lamed Ben. Hamizmor Ma'orer Tumak Lev Benoso. This Perek warrants paying attention to its subject. Chena Ragil Kolka, who's right to Tehillim. We don't usually look at a subject of these Perek Tehillim. It's usually much more vague in general. What Tefillah Torah, what Tefillah Torah, say about prayer or praise. And pure praise, pure prayer, it's usually obvious. But I mean, for example, Lamena Tona Masha, this Perek is here to teach us something. It's called a Maskil. The essence of what is here to teach us. And it's meant as a mashal, as a parable. It's something that you don't realize from Mishle. We know that you can't hide sin. We know that from Mishle. He says it outright. Tehillim says the same thing, but much more poetically. But this parak teaches us this living wisdom, this fact that you have to do tshuva for sins. Lo kechlal yamesh, the sefer hachma, not as a dry principle in some book of wisdom, ushara teklal, it sings this. It's poetically said, b'tzura piyutit, as a poem. We're talking to siyanot nefesh asmo as we're looking at David's travails of his soul itself. We're going to look at this parak as though we're looking at David, trying to think, what do I do about my avera? I am not kisui pesha, kisui chata. My sin is not covered up. How do I deal with this? He elicits his feelings in different situations. Gam b'shahayash shayam b'chaseh pashav, when he's trying to cover up his sin. Gam b'shahasho dav azav. And even when he's acknowledging it and trying to abandon the sin, and also when he's being forgiven. That it illustrates the spiritual events of his life, asher hayo kochan zakim, that were so powerful, asher hivta'u gam b'lufo, that he that they were expressed even in his body itself. He felt sick over the sins. Therefore, we read this parah. Not as though we're learning a scholarly book that is dry and as cut and dry. Let's translate that way. Ufukach means it's literally dry or literal. Individualit, but as we're reading somebody's personal news, jetzah me'alev, it comes from the heart. Jetzah me'nefesh na'ne, comes from the soul that was answered, and chief tshuva v'shukach, gamhim mutzit, had v'nasho, and therefore it also sees, it also elicits an echo in our nefesh as well. And that's the idea of Tehillim as it meant to express the feelings as opposed to simply saying the fact that you need to do tshuva. Tehillim is meant to be read and meant to be felt, that this is what tshuva is. So that's where he continues. And the next pasuk of it after the Ashrei Kisui is Ashrei Adam lo yachashev lo Hashem lo avon. Happy is who Hashem does not consider his sin. The Ein Brucho Rimiyah, and that doesn't have his own spirit, doesn't have any false. And Hirsch puts it, happy too. It's you, he to whom, even if he has sinned, the Lord need not ascribe iniquity and decrees his ultimate fate. That he has gone past that Avera and now is achieved tshuva. And now when Hashem is saying, what we can do about you, this is no longer there. He's not deceived in his own mind by his true word. He bears within his soul a conscience that acts as a stern and corruptible judge. That's what tshuva means. There's no deceit in his mind. I think at this point I'm going to stop here. We'll continue on with the rest of the parak next time. And I encourage everyone in St. Louis to participate in the Sarah Edelman Memorial Lecture with Rabbi Bienenfeld at 11 o'clock.